In this episode, I'm going to go a little bit against the grain. So instead of talking about the value of shorter videos, I'm going to expose the big time impact and value that longer videos provide.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery, brought to you by Wirebuds.
Hello, hello. All right, a new episode of Video Marketing Mastery is upon us. And in the studio, I've got Marcus Krieg, Wirebuzz's Director of Strategy. What is up?
What is up?
All right, Marcus, a lot of people when I'm going to conferences are talking about short videos. Always keep your videos short, you know. Keep them 87 seconds. And we've spent some time in the past of talking about the proper length of a video. But what we haven't done with our audience is discuss with them where we've been for some time now, which is the value and impact that longer videos can have and why you need to prioritize longer videos in certain parts of your video marketing plan. So let's spend a few moments and let's have that conversation. Sound good?
Sure. Sure. Sounds great.
True or false, most of the industry is obsessed with short videos.
100% true.
Okay. And just give me true or false, okay? I don't want you to, I'm just kidding.
No, 150% true, Todd.
But it seems like people are obsessed with short videos because they think short videos have an advantage.
Yeah, and oftentimes they're looking at things like how many views is it getting? How many shares are you getting? How many people are making it to the end of the video to view your call to action, which you would use as that would be called a view through rate. Oftentimes when people are making these judgment calls, they're looking at audience retention. How long are people watching your video? How many people who started watching your video dropped off before the end? And that's how they're using the data to make decisions as to how long a video should be.
But often the data is misleading because it doesn't always give you the full picture. And this is where a video marketing expert helps people navigate through the path. So, you know, in the past, Wirebuzz has stumbled into the value, really the impact that longer videos can provide. So I think it's most important when people are trying to determine, you know, short or long first, what their ultimate goal is, and that goal will dictate short or long, right?
Right. And the rule of thumb I always give people is, what's the compelling promise you're going to make in the video? Like, what would you title this video in an ideal scenario so that people would be really interested to watch it in the first place? Like, what is that value proposition? And then how long does the video have to be to effectively meet that promise you've made in the headline? And so if you're going to make a bigger promise, oftentimes that means that there's going to be more information delivered, more value, more entertainment, right? So if you're going to make those bigger promises, you're going to get more views on the front end, but you also have to earn trust by making sure that you're meeting the promise that you've made.
More often than not, if somebody wants to use a video in order to filter out bad leads and know who great leads are that are interested in becoming buyers, that's where the value of a longer video comes in, and they can use it for things like sequential retargeting, which they couldn't do as effectively with a shorter video.
Right, because a bunch of people are going to be scrolling through their news feed, or they're going to be looking at videos on YouTube, and you can get distracted for 30 seconds, right? You can just look away from your computer for 30 seconds and accidentally view a video for that length.
But you don't ever want to spend ad money or excessive ad money on people that have been distracted that aren't really a true lead.
Right. And so one of the things that video technology is starting to enable is engagement-based retargeting lists. So, and there's obviously other ways that long video factors in here, but just to sort of close the loop on this discussion, if you have a 5-minute video that's kicking off your ad series on Facebook, you're pushing that 5-minute video, probably several 5-minute videos out to highly relevant audiences. And you're going to get a lot of 10-second views on Facebook. You're going to get a lot of 30-second views. You're probably even going to get a lot of 1 or 2 minute views. Now, the 30-second views, the 10-second views, they're not all that valuable. They're a little valuable. You're going to pay a little bit less money than you would targeting them cold to retarget them with the next ad. But they don't really have a relationship with you yet, right? 10 to 30 seconds. But if someone spends 5 minutes with you—
That's a high attention span viewer, right?
Yeah.
High interest.
Or 4.5 minutes, you know, 95%, 75% of that video, they're starting to get to know you. You've warmed them up. You've delivered a lot of that essential information they need to advance to the next video in your series. So longer videos actually give you a lot more flexibility in terms of skimming the cream off the top, hyper-focusing your ad budget on the people who are most engaged. Now, in an ad context, this has only been around for a little while. But in terms of understanding which prospects in your database are engaged with your content, we've been doing this for years now.
Right.
So you send out a video, you see which people are watching it to 80 or 90%, and then that triggers a follow-up from the salesperson. Right? You know who's engaged because they've demonstrated engagement with your content.
Right.
And you're not really, like, if someone's only watching 30 seconds of your video, they're probably not buyers anyway.
Right. And you also want to deprioritize your ad spend going forward so you eliminate the people that are just meh about your product, right?
Exactly.
So it's funny because as I'm hearing you talk, I'm hearing the audience in my head that might not be 100% sure of where these videos live, okay? And so then there's a value to having a shorter explainer video on your homepage, but there's also a value to having a longer video like Marcus and I are discussing that you can use for sorting out your leads by attention span and interest, by putting them into buckets of like, somebody will watch 95% or more of that video. That's like your hardcore buyer, right? Somebody that watched 75%, that's still a very interested buyer. I'd even lump them into a hardcore group, but my ad spend would be prioritized differently than the 95%. But somebody who watched 50% and so on is different. Where does a video like this live and where does it engage with audiences?
Sure. So there are many contexts where you would use a longer video as part of your strategy. Obviously, there are things like masterclasses or on-demand webinars, which people have been using to great success, both Absolutely. Selling high-end and sort of low-ticket items. So, you know, that's oftentimes 45-plus minutes long, and we know that they hold people. They hold the buyers, and then the buyers get enough information to make a purchase. So that's one example.
You know, it's kind of funny that as you're saying that, I'm thinking of webinars that we've done where we saw the numbers fluctuate in audience towards the beginning, but then you saw the numbers dwindle down, which is okay. It's not a crisis Normal. Situation, but you know that if you've got them there in like the first half of that webinar, those are the people that make it all the way to the finish line.
Right.
It's a very similar philosophy here.
Exactly. And we've been preaching this for a little while, but I don't think that the industry's quite caught on yet, but there's almost like these building trust elements within a little video, right? So if you don't start the video by saying what you're going to tell people, like what the promise is, what the topic is in the first 10 seconds, you're going to lose a whole bunch of people right away.
Is that one of these things like, hey, in this video, I'm going to teach you X, Y, and Z?
Yep.
So you're kind of, you're teasing, you're hooking them, but you're going to make good on that promise.
Exactly. Oftentimes we'll see people who are starting videos with like intro bumpers that are like 3, sometimes as much as 8 seconds long.
I count them. I look. Do you do that?
I do it every time.
Oh my God.
Because it's like, you know that you just lost 10% of your viewership in 3 seconds.
And they didn't even get out of your bumper.
Right. And so we tend to have a very short attention span on the internet for stuff that we view as bullshit. And so, but if we can hook someone with a promise of value and utility, then you are going to earn the next 30 seconds of their attention. Yep. Now, if you hold their attention for 30 seconds, the data shows that you will also hold their attention for 2 minutes, right? There's almost no drop-off between a 30-second video and a 2-minute video. We've known for decades that 2-minute videos outperform 30-second videos in terms of ads, infomercial spots. I mean, even from a TV perspective,
Absolutely.
We've known it for decades. And yet there's this historical bias where commercials or TV studios are selling ad space in 30-second increments. and people are seeing how can I squeeze my message into 30 seconds?
Yeah.
And that was how the industry started. How can I squeeze my value proposition into 30 seconds?
But it's not optimal.
Right. Unless you're Procter & Gamble and all of your products can be demonstrated in 30 seconds right. or less, in which this case, that's
one
great.
This one is more absorbent than that one.
Right. And you
this
can
see it. This is the quicker picker-upper.
Yeah, it's the swifter, quicker picker-upper.
Right.
So we've known that for a long time, and some recent Wistia research has actually validated that by looking at over 1.3 billion video views on over 500,000 videos. And that's exactly what they found, that there was virtually no substantial drop-off between a 30-second video and a 2-minute video. So generally speaking, if your goal is to educate people and prime them for a purchase of some kind, obviously, don't make a 2-minute video just because you want to hit the 2-minute mark, right? But a 2-minute video versus a 30-second video, don't cut out important information thinking that shorter is better, right? Now, the same data set has found that a 2-minute to 6-minute video, there is a substantial drop-off there, right? And again, this is that next barrier that we've talked about where you have to earn someone's trust. If you earn their trust in that 4-minute segment, you will almost never lose them at all, right? So if you can hold someone's attention for the first 6 minutes of your video, you're not going to lose them until 16, 17, 18 minutes in.
But they're a completely different kind of viewer, right?
Yeah.
You've pretty much whittled off the fat, the people that are, I don't know, loosely interested, and then you use the length of that video to engage and entertain and pique the interest of people that are your target buyer. Now you know, voila, there right. they are.
Exactly. And, you know, we're starting to see some of this data bear out in terms of engagement results, search results, the ability to actually close a deal, right? People have been using video sales letters, you know, long 20, 30,
Absolutely.
40-minute videos for a long time now. And there's a reason why they work. Because if you don't lose someone in the first 6 minutes, which means you're delivering real value, you're keeping it moving, the production quality is not off-putting in some way, and you're relevant, right? You're going to lose 30% of people in the first 30 seconds just because your content isn't relevant to them. You have to accept that. And then in the 2 to 6 minute mark, you know, in that window, you're going to lose some more people because you're just not relevant to them. You're not speaking their language. And that's okay, because those aren't going to be your best customers anyway. And so that's not to say that you should just make 6-minute videos or 10-minute videos or 15-minute videos. There's definitely a context. So let's circle back to the question you asked initially, which is, how do these longer videos fit in?
Absolutely.
So obviously there's like webinars, masterclasses, there's video one in any kind of retargeting series so that you can do the interest level based retargeting.
So this would be a perfect video one in a sequence of videos.
Exactly, right? So you might run a video one ad that's like 5 or 6 minutes long on Facebook, purely helpful. It's what we would call demand gen. So you're teaching the information people need in order to prioritize your solution when you introduce it. You're not selling anything in that video, you're just offering real value. Mm-hmm. Now you're using that to make sure that you're priming someone for your offer, which will come in video two, as an example, right? Video two might only be 2 minutes long because it's a little more salesy, right? So oftentimes that's a testimonial, right? So you're not going to hook someone with value in a 2-minute sales video. So instead, you need to make sure that you keep that kind of content moving.
You know, I like restaurant analogies.
Sure.
What do you mean, sure? I mean,
I've worked with you for 5 years. You like restaurant analogies.
I love restaurant analogies. And the one that comes to mind is, you know, it feels to me like people that are always recommending short videos are kind of like the entry point in the video marketing industry. Like it's, you know, maybe they've got a camera, you know, they've read some blogs, but there's a time and place for everything. And here's even a time and place for a restaurant analogy. And it feels like there's appetizers and entrees, and there's a little dessert. So there's these 30-second little tastes that are appetizers, and depends on where you want people to go in the meal and what you want them to get out of it. But if you're only just selling or servicing people with appetizers, you leave a lot of appetite that is unfulfilled. And in doing so, you don't really know who's a interested customer that wants to be there for a big meal. And when you serve a bigger meal in a video, the people that sit there and get full and at the end are interested are the ones you should be prioritizing to sell other things to, like dessert.
Absolutely. So
what's wrong with me?
Hey, you know, our brains work.
Yes. The diagram will be in the show notes.
You know, our brains work the way our brains work.
Yes.
So yeah, absolutely. You know, on the shorter side of video, oftentimes we use those to drive traffic from social, right? So you might tee up a problem without divulging the solution. You
right.
just tee up the solution, and then you use that 30-second video.
It's like a hook, right?
It's just a baited hook, and then you're using that to try to drive traffic to your website. So that would be a context where you might not retarget people based on the video viewing behavior, but based on the landing on that page of your website. So there are pros and cons to both approaches. The most important thing to understand is that there certainly is a place for shorter videos, but let's not ignore the fact that longer videos can be extremely powerful. I mean, we keep talking about the fact that, you know, your sales team oftentimes, especially in B2B, or if you have a high ticket B2C product, people want to feel comfortable. They want to be savvy consumers of your product. My wife and I have been looking at 70-inch TVs. And so we have spent the last several days researching and looking into all the features and making sure we understand the specs. And it's actually surprisingly difficult.
Yeah.
I think the Samsungs and the Sonys of the world could probably do a better job of educating consumers.
All you really need to do is do what I do, which is I six Strons on it. And I'm like, I'm looking for a TV. Which one?
Well, my buddy Mike has been helpful, but I'm not going to deputize him to the task.
Yeah.
It's more like, is this one good? But so the big idea is you have a lot of information oftentimes that you're going to need to communicate. And if all of your videos are 2 minutes, you're asking your consumers to watch sometimes 50 videos to get enough information to
make a buying decision. Right?
Exactly. So if you have content that can be grouped more intelligently, especially in the middle and later stages of your sales funnel, right? So like the webinars, product features, implementation, handling objections, addressing price and value. Some of those things are such important topics, you could easily hold people's attention for 7, 8, 9, 10 minutes. If the content is delivering the information that they find valuable, right? So it doesn't mean make it long just because, but if that's how long it takes for you to effectively address those common questions, those barriers to the sale, then you should take that time and make sure that those videos are well done. Because to go back to what you said earlier, there are a lot of people out there who are just videographers who are prioritizing short videos because it's the only way that they can show good results. Because if the production quality is not good, it's not up to snuff, if the messaging is not designed to hold people's attention, then you won't capture people's trust after the first 2 minutes and hold them through for 6, 7, 8.
Right.
You will lose them immediately, so you have to be short if your production quality is bad. So my recommendation to the listeners is if you're going to create one of these longer videos, you need to make sure that you create it the right way the first time.
Right. Or you're actually doing yourself a disservice.
Right.
You know, you're kind of like showing people that you're not ready for prime time. Look, we did a case study on how to 10X the engagement with a content series. It's episode 75 of this podcast. And we basically lifted the veil on how Wirebuzz took our welcome series, and which teaches people how to guarantee they get ROI from their videos. And we're basically just giving out our Wirebuzz secrets and turned it into a 5-part video course. And these aren't short videos, but we 10X'd our engagement because the people that were watching were people that were hardcore interested in video marketing as a tool for generating ROI. And there's no reason that other businesses, for their own metrics, couldn't be doing something similar with a longer video.
Right. And so this is that classic case of where you can deliver a lot of value and pre-sell your product, right? So in this ROI mini course we created, it teaches people how to use video to generate ROI. It's very helpful, very actionable. We provide lots of resources.
I'm people super can download, charming throughout the whole thing.
Obviously.
Right.
And so there's a lot of value to be delivered. We're telling stories. We're doing all these things that you should be doing in video anyway. Right. Now, that information that's being delivered, it does help us sell because it's things that people need to understand before they will view us as the logical choice for their video production needs. And so we're not being salesy in those videos. We're delivering value, but we're delivering that critical information people need to have before they can make a buying decision. Almost every business can do this. You just have to make sure that you're positioning that content in a helpful way and then sequencing it appropriately. So in that ROI mini course, most of those videos were over 7 or 8 minutes long.
Yeah.
The average audience retention on those videos was over 60%.
Right.
The 11-minute video we did for video 3, that had a 65% audience retention rate.
Beautiful.
Which is, you know, if you made a 3-minute video, you would hope for above 60%.
Right.
So that's just goes to show that effective sequencing, effective targeting and relevance, and then making sure that those videos are well-produced and engaging, super, super important. And if you do it, you will hold people's attention, the right people's attention.
Now, Marcus, I'm glad you brought that up. As Wirebuzz's head of sales, I'm not as interested in the 35% that dropped out and didn't make it through the end. But I'm really interested in the 65% that displayed a high level of interest, right? Those, to me, are people that are demonstrating that they're a buyer. And those are the ones that I want to know. I would not have been able to do this and sort people out if we went with a little dinky video that was short, right?
Yeah, and so it comes back to that larger question we've been asking, where does short video fit in? Where does long video fit in? I think that when we're talking about what we refer to as baited hooks, right? The short video you put on Facebook to try to drive people to your website.
That's a baited hook.
Right. The explainer video that you put on your homepage.
Baited hook.
Right. Now, once you get past the early product information, right, the basics, you can start going a little bit longer, deeper on the features, showing people how to use it, showing people what it means for their lives. Yeah. That information, it's valuable. You're helping me make a buying decision. But the real guerrilla opportunity for longer form video happens similar to what we did with the ROI mini course. How can you position the information that your buyers need to have into some larger value proposition, something educational, something that's not salesy? And so it becomes a guerrilla technique to align your buyers with the information they need to have to become good buyers.
Yeah, it's super interesting, isn't it? Hey, if you want to get access to this course that Marcus and I are talking about, we have a free video course. It's designed to teach you how to guarantee your videos get ROI, and it shows our three-step system that Wirebuzz uses to generate video ROI for sales and marketing teams, and you can get access to it at wirebuzz.com/ROI, right? Return on investment. And so wirebuzz.com/ROI is this course, and it's really interesting to me. Every time I speak, the question I get from the audience is going to be, how long should a video be, right? And if I had an hour, I could explain it in the right level of depth, but the real answer is it depends. In some places, strategically, you have to have short videos. In other places, you need long videos. It's not one size fits all. There isn't a quick rule. You just have to know from the strategic perspective of what that goal's video is.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I definitely recommend checking out episode 75, where we address this specific case study about the ROI mini course, because you'll start to get a lot of insight into how do you position content in an educational framework? How do you deploy a content series? You know, those types of things, some of the structural elements for longer videos that will help pull people through, like using a U-shaped sort of story arc, right? So you start with the high points, you end with the high points. Those things are all really critical. Making sure that you're writing good scripts that maintain momentum, that aren't repetitive. you know, we're working with a client right now, probably the best copywriter we've ever had as a client, right? His scripts are pretty good.
Wait a
right?
second. Can you do me a favor? Can you mouth this person to me? So I don't say it. I don't want you to say it on the mic, but just tell me who it is. Oh yeah. All right. Go on.
Yeah. So, you know, this client is extremely savvy when it comes to effective messaging and story arcs and all of those sorts of things. But the language itself is a little bit robotic.
Right.
Right. It's not super conversational, which is what we've found has demonstrated the best results.
So you tone that down
so
for
you
him.
Tone that down a little bit. And there was just a little bit of repetition. And you see where the repetition happens, the drop-offs in the video engagement. So, you know, these are all things that you expect, but those are the things that you need to be most ruthless about getting the details right. Because if you're going to go about making a longer video, it's not about being 80% of the way there. If you're going to make a longer video, it needs to be 98% of the way there.
But this client in particular, whose name will not be mentioned, from the first time we met this person to when they left, and in every meeting, I think we've looked at them and thought, oh my God, this person is about as well-rounded as a marketer that's ever walked through the door, right?
What's fascinating is he's not a marketer at
all. I know.
He's a scientist. He just believes that he can learn anything. And so he systematically goes about learning all of the elements of the craft that he needs in order to sell his thing.
He totally gets it. Like, I'm impressed when I see a marketer that gets one element at a very high level, but he's like a five-tool player, and probably he's a scientist, right? Mm-hmm. But literally, that dude can sell better than anybody I've ever seen. Like, he's come in and talked to us about his product. I don't even know if the product works, but I want to buy it.
Right? And so, you know, the big takeaway is, as good as he is, there are details that need to be addressed in your messaging, in your video, to make sure that anything that's amateurish, anything that's repetitive, anything that breaks momentum, right? So we talk about conversational language, writing the way people speak.
Starting with the word "and" at the beginning of a sentence, because that's the way we speak.
Yeah, right, exactly. We talk like that all the time.
You would never be allowed to do that, like in a writing class.
Right. My English teacher in high school and I continue to have debates on Facebook about this, because she sees all of the stuff that I'm putting out.
Yeah.
And then she's like, no, Marcus, you can't do that. And I'm like, listen, Deb. Because I can do that now that I'm adult. But you know, your English teacher might not like it. Your PR team might not like it because they're used to evaluating text for text. But understand that the way that the words and the sentences flow together will either keep people listening, or it will create these little pattern interrupts that will stop them from paying. That will help you lose their attention. And then you have to win it back.
Yeah.
And that's really challenging in a video context. We are so scatterbrained that if you're delivering value, I will stay on that path with you delivering value. But the moment that you interrupt that pattern, that flow of that stream of information, you're giving me an opportunity to decide, to make a decision again.
To pull the ripcord.
Right. Is this continuing to deliver value, or should I go do something else like watch funny cat videos on Facebook?
Right. Right.
So really important that if you're going to create these longer videos, that you get them done properly and you make sure that those videos have a strong strategic function. They need to be long. They're designed well to hold people's attention despite the fact that they're long, and that they are the smart topic that is going to move the needle for your business. That all has to be in alignment if you're going to be creating these longer videos.
Absolutely. It's such a valuable topic. I'm glad we spent a few moments on it. Marcus, a quick diversion from this topic. You were with me in Las Vegas at the American Society of Breast Surgeons Conference, and we were meeting with clients and helping them lay out their strategies and how video fits in and where content and social all come in together and how it all backs up into their CRM so they could evaluate their leads' level of interest and attention span. I can't tell you how many people at that conference came up to me and, like they were part of an inside joke, commented about my bloopers video.
Mm-hmm.
It happened with almost 3/4 of the people that I spoke with that came up and, you know, whispered in my ear how much they laughed at my discomfort in front of the camera.
It's our top YouTube video over the past month.
Oh, has it been?
Yep.
And I thought that that was a really interesting lesson for me, because I always get people commenting about something that they're learning from us. Always, always, always. But they're never part of the inside joke. And once they were laughing, then all of a sudden they knew it was okay to laugh at me or to laugh at us. And they were dropping lines that I was using in that blooper reel and throwing them back at me, which told me that the video marketing tactic was totally appropriate for you to take stuff off of the editing room floor that might not be ready for prime time and to put it out there as a way to show your true nature or some humility, and people resonated with it.
Well, and it's humanity, right? I think that I know you and I've had this discussion in a little longer form on a previous podcast, but we're really looking at that human to human connection now. Right. There's a lot of pushback from consumers that they're being treated like a number in your database, like a pixel or a user. And that's not comfortable. It's not a comfortable feeling. You want to have a relationship with the people you're doing business with. You want to feel like you know them. And I think that those humanizing pieces of content, those moments of radical transparency, they can be really valuable. And now, one of those old school YouTube tactics was to put a blooper reel at the back of every video you make.
Right.
After the call to action, while the call to action is up on screen.
Right.
Because then you can hold people through your call to action. People, your trained subscribers will come back to that video and they will watch it to the end just to see the bloopers.
Dude, have you ever been in a movie theater where you're done with the movie and they're putting up the credits and you're literally walking out and then all of a sudden they stop the credits or the music and now you're watching bloopers from the movie? Like, you ever, like, halfway out the door, you stop, turn around, look for a few moments, get a couple more laughs as you're walking out? That's the same thing that we did with that blooper reel, by bringing people back through the process, but humanizing me while doing it.
Right. And I think that there's another, you know, lesson that can be taken from that, which is, you know, there are all of these podcasts and YouTube creators where they're not editing their podcast anymore.
Right.
Right. You know, Tim Ferriss, The Fizzle Show.
Sure.
And it's because they figured that their audience will like the gaffes, the mistakes, the humanity.
Right.
And so there's that movement that's happening, but then there's also this live video thing that's going on where people eat up live video. They spend, speaking of long videos,
yes,
people spend much longer watching a live video because the engagement, the humanity, the authenticity of that that communication mm-hmm. vehicle is so high. And so if you're at all concerned about how do I create longer videos, well, maybe start with a Facebook Live event or a Periscope and go long. You know, go 15 minutes long and see what happens.
With that said, we're not recommending anybody use a Facebook Live video on your homepage as your homepage explainer video or as your product overview video. When you are doing a longer video, let's be strategic about it. When you are going to be putting a video on your homepage, make that, recognizing it's your most trafficked page on your website, it demands that video be of high quality and be succinct.
Right. Now, the way people are repurposing Facebook Lives is you can parcel those topics down into like 2-minute sequence. We were doing this.
Yes, I know.
We were doing this years ago with Google Hangouts.
Yes. And
it was the most remarkable thing that came out of that SMX West.
Yes.
Everyone, all of the subsequent sessions, people were talking about your chaptering up a long Google Hangout.
You know what's so funny is they actually looked at it like it was groundbreaking. But I started doing that, and this is like 2010, right, at SMX conferences coast to coast when I was speaking on it. And but I was doing that in 2007 when I started doing the video medical encyclopedia. That was all like one-hour videotape that I would do. And I would ask one question at a time, and each one of those questions would be its own clip. So it was only like it was just what I had already done. So it made sense that when Google Plus rolled out Hangouts on Air, that was the technique of repurposing that longer content into shorter pieces of content. And the trade-off, and then somebody coined their name. They used it and they were like, this is the so-and-so effect, and then took it. And But the trade-off there is those videos are going to be off of a webcam. They're going to be lower production quality. And whenever possible, you really want to step out with the right presentation or the right level of quality. And so as an agency, we also stepped away from repurposing of live because it's not our best foot forward. We'd never want to be evaluated or our clients evaluated by inferior video because people will have that logical extension that that is the quality of their brand.
Right. And, you know, we're a video production company, right? Like people expect a higher level of quality and production from us than an indie blogger.
Absolutely.
Or, you know, a brand team with one marketer on staff.
Right. You know, it's just like different. If Nike all of a sudden came out with the big baller brand shoes, people expect higher quality from Nike.
Exactly. Exactly. And so we always talk about higher end video when you have a higher end product, right? When you're positioning yourself as the quality purveyor in your industry,
right?
You're going to need the higher quality video. But you know, if you're going to be repurposing, you know, something like a Facebook Live or a longer Periscope or a YouTube Live event, you know, that's like blog videos. That's like social videos that you can repurpose and parcel off. Yeah, they're perishable. They're not going to take. You're not going to put those videos on your benefits page or your homepage or your about page. Like it's not a good delivery mechanism. It goes back to what we were saying before. If you're going to create a longer video and it's not for social, do it the right way the first time.
All right, Marcus Krieg's with me. He's our director of strategy. You know, Marcus, when I used to be on radio, I just did a radio host tactic. And when I used to be a talk show host, you had people joining any moment into the show. So you'd have to reset like I just did. And we're joined right now. For those of you who are just tuning in, we're joined right now by Marcus Krieg. And but that doesn't work with podcasts because people don't check in that way, do they?
No. And we're not really expecting another guest today, I don't think.
No, I don't think so. Marcus, anything else we should be discussing when talking about the value of long videos and what they provide to companies?
I just want to reiterate, you know, if you're creating a sales funnel or content where you're trying to, you know, deliver a webinar's worth of information, or, you know, a sales call's, you know, a sales presentation's worth of information, then, you know, there are advantages to perhaps creating one really long video, right? Like a masterclass or a video sales letter, okay, something along those lines. You could parcel those up into things like a video course, like a product launch formula style course, right, where you might have 3 20-minute videos. We see those all over the internet as sort of like an opt-in or a lead capture and sales funnel all in one. You might break it up into 5 videos that are like 10 minutes long, like we did for our mini course. The point is you have a ton of information that you need to communicate. And if you can communicate that all at once in a webinar type format and close deals, do that. If you find that that's too long to hold people's attention, try 3 videos. See if you can hold people for 20 minutes. And if that's not working, maybe dial it back to 5-minute videos. It's all the same content, right? It's the same material. You're just repackaging it. So what I would encourage our listeners to do, if you're looking at creating your first sales funnel, maybe think about, okay, so I'm going to design this all-in-one video, this one long video designed to sell my thing. And then I'm going to promote that as a webinar. And if people aren't sticking around in that content, then one of two things happened. Either the content itself is not compelling enough to justify 60 minutes of attention, or you executed poorly. Be real honest with yourself. Decide, did I execute poorly? Maybe ask some people who, you know, aren't your friends or family who aren't going to just tell you that it was great. And then maybe decide, how can I repackage this into smaller, more consumable pieces? But the idea that making someone watch 5 videos or 50 videos is a much bigger ask than asking for 1 hour of their attention. And so as much as you can deliver at once of that critical sales information, do that. And then if you need to parcel it up, break it up into more days, more content, approach that as you get there.
A super piece of advice by Marcus Krieg, our director of strategy. Marcus, we've noticed something very interesting. You know, we're getting a lot of feedback from our audience recently, but in maybe 50% of the emails that I'm getting about the podcast, people are making little comments about Marcus. I mean, they're like, somebody made a comment the other day about Marcus would probably know this, or tell Marcus, hey, say hi. I think people are also starting to recognize, you know, the role that you're playing, and they're feeling like they want to either heckle you or get some guidance, that's a good feeling, right?
Yeah, it's fun. I enjoy being on here.
It's an indicator, Marcus, the value that you're providing, the insights. An easy way to get more information in the show notes for this episode is to go to wirebuzz.com/85. Oh, by the way, earlier you mentioned 75, episode 75. So let me clear this up. If you want to get access to the show notes page when Marcus mentioned episode 75, an easy way to remember 75 is that's 3/4, right? And I don't know, you should always have 3/4 in your ashtray of your car.
Math.
It's too hard. All right. Then an easy way to get the show notes for this is episode 85. And in 1985, Mikhail Gorbachev became the Soviet leader. Nintendo jumped onto the scene. Thank God for Mario Brothers. What would we have done without them? Live Aid concert happened in Philadelphia and in London in order for millions to be donated to famine relief in Ethiopia. And the last thing you should know about that time, 1985, was, check this out, a gallon of gas was $1.09. A movie ticket cost, you want to guess?
I wasn't alive yet.
You damn loser. A movie ticket cost $2.75. A postage stamp was 22 cents. A ribeye steak, Christo, you want to guess? You're supposed to go, I wasn't alive yet.
Well, it depends on.
A ribeye steak. $3.89 in 1985, wirebuzz.com/85. What's your year of birth?
88.
88.
Coming up on it.
That's pretty big. All right. Well, you guys make me feel old, but you know, with age comes wisdom. I'm looking forward to you guys catching up. And beauty, you jackass. Marcus, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Thanks for having me again.
All right. If this podcast was valuable, you can always subscribe at iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. When you subscribe, we send the latest episodes to you. And while you're there, leave us a really honest rating and review. Feel free to heckle Marcus in your review. I'd appreciate that more than you know. But we look at that information as ways to optimize and provide a better podcast for you. Coming up in the next episode is going to be the latest news in video marketing. There's some really cool things happening. You're going to want to be a part of that. And that's coming up. We'll release it the day after this one releases. And that'll be episode 86. All right. Peace out, everybody. Thank you for joining me on the Video Marketing Mastery Podcast. If anybody's got any questions, you can always submit them in to me on social and I'll look for it. All right, so that's the episode. We gave you a really smart overview, if I do say so myself, on the power of longer videos. Probably the most neglected topic in the video marketing space, and it provides significant value, which we demonstrated. Most importantly, it allows you to segment off your audience. And then at the end of that long video, you will know those that watched 95% if you're segmenting, or 75%, they're significantly more valuable than people that are only watching, let's say, 30 seconds or a minute or 2 minutes. The longer the video, the more value you've got to provide, but the greater value that long video provides you in understanding the buyer's intent and of all the viewers, who's ready to be converted. All right, and look for the latest news coming up in the next episode where we break down what's going on in the world of digital marketing and how you as a business leader or an entrepreneur can use this information to amplify your results. Ultimately, it's important that you realize as a listener of this podcast that all roads in digital marketing now flow through the power of video. And the more you leverage it and use it to your business's advantage, the greater ROI you're going to create and the faster you're going to pass up your competitors. Peace out, everybody. I wish you a very prosperous week. Look for the next episode right here on Video Marketing Mastery.